Welcome to Executive Leaders Radio, your spot in the corner office, the radio show where executives share their secrets to success. Executive Leaders Radio.
You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen, with my co-host, Jeff Mack, Newmar, Caleb Hoppus, Hanlon, Matthew Shapiro, Obermeyer, Cindy Bergvall, B. Bergvall and Company, and David Bizarre, Thrive Financial Services. Jeffrey, can you give us a rundown on who we're having on the air today, please?
Sure, Herb. We have Mark Wilkin is the CFO of Endesa Services. We have Scott Cooper, President, Language Services Associates. Steve Gillone is president of Nabriva Therapeutics, and Lynn Kovich is the CEO of Conexio Care.
Let's get to know our first guest, Mark Wilkins, CFO of Endesa Services. What is Endesa Services, Mark?
Endesa Services is a 100% owned, employee-owned company that provides services and technology to the life insurance industry.
How many employees do you have that own this business?
200 employees.
Wow. And where are you from originally? How many brothers and sisters? Where are you in the pecking order?
North of Allentown, Bath, Pennsylvania. I am one of three, older sister, younger brother.
And 8 to 14 years old, what kind of stuff were you involved with? What kind of stuff were you up to?
Catholic education up until high school, group sports, team sports, that is, baseball, basketball, individual sports, tennis, and golf. Scouts, love the outdoors, as well as arts class as well, to be well-rounded.
Jeffrey?
So, Mark, tell us about mom and dad. What did they do for a living when you were growing up and beyond that time?
Sure. Mom, career educator, high school chemistry teacher. Father, food service, managed food catering for large universities.
And which one are you more like, mom or dad?
I'm going to say I bring probably a little bit more like my mom. I have that analytical teaching education type brain, but my father's kind of silent leadership and lead by example as well.
And what do you bring to work from mom and dad, Mark?
Yeah, from a mom perspective, that education and communication piece the most. And then, you know, to my dad, just that kind of consummate leader, always getting the job done and working through whatever has to happen.
David?
Mark, you had mentioned in the green room that you had a paper route. What was the age that you started that paper route?
Age 12.
Age 12. So that's really early. So tell us a little bit about that and then how you see that. How did that influence where you're at today as a leader?
Sure. Paper route, without a doubt, the job has to get done. 7 day a week route, rain, snow, extreme heat, whatever the case is, it has to get done. It's all about customer service. People want the paper when they want it. The better customer service, the more tips, the better tips you got.
Yeah.
What's that have to do with who you are nowadays and how's that influencing you now?
You know, from a deadline driven standpoint, it's who I am. You got to get the work done and it's all about customer service. The job is all about customers and, you know, getting them what they need when they want it.
Mm-hmm. Cindy?
Mark, you mentioned arts in your growing up years. Was that a one-off or does that still continue today?
It still continues today. I wear a few hats at Andesa, one of which is a marketing angle as well. I'm a head of marketing and I love the creative side. It is a break from the analytical and the finance aspect of the business.
So you're both right-brained and left-brained. How do you see that you leverage that in what you do in your work?
Well, you know, it's just a ton of fun to be able to work on multiple things at the organization and leveraging them both. And it's, you know, that creativity also comes with the communication skills as well.
Mm-hmm. Matthew?
Mark, you said you're the middle of three siblings. I'm curious about that. What'd that do to you?
You know, it allowed me to look up at my sister and look kind of down at my brother and maybe figure out the best of both worlds, if you will, and kind of bring that to the family dynamic.
So what is that looking up and down and bringing that to family dynamic? Tell me, what's that got to do with being the CFO of Endesa?
Well, it allows you to work with multiple levels of the organization. It's all about people, creating relationships with those people, allowing them to grow within the organization. So just appreciating all, you know, from my bosses to the people that work for me, appreciating all different angles of the business.
Mm-hmm. Caleb?
Mark, you mentioned a few different sports that you played growing up. Which one was your favorite?
Basketball.
And were you lighting up the scoreboard, 30 points, 10 assists? What type of player were you?
I was more of a 6-6, 6 points, 6 rebounds type of guy. More of a one in the trenches, not a lot of scoring, but ultimately ended up the captain trying to lead that team to a few victories here and there. We weren't that good.
Oh, wow. So what did you learn as the captain of the team?
you know, multiple skill sets on the, there is a 30-point score on your team. There's a 6-point score. There's a 0-point score. So how do you make that team kind of gel together, get the job done? You can't win a game without all aspects, all different types of personalities and skill levels.
I'd imagine that translate pretty closely to being a leader in Andessa. Can you kind of make the connection for us?
Sure. Absolutely. I do have 5 different areas, marketing being one of them, finance another, and each different personality and skill set comes to the table. And that's the key, is how do you get them to gel together, all kind of rowing in the same direction for a similar purpose?
Mm-hmm. Matthew?
Mark, when we were talking in the green room, one of the first things you said about Andessa is it was employee owned. Were you involved in Andessa becoming employee owned?
Yes, I was. I was a key stakeholder in that process.
And why does that matter to you? Why do you tell us that as one of the first things?
You know, it's so key in what we do, in that we believe that the company will thrive in the hands of its employees. So as we go forward, we did not want to be acquired by a public company. We wanted to keep our culture, wanted to stay who we are, what we do. And our purpose is about developing people. And so having your company in the hands of your employees and allowing them to proceed and do best. And then it ultimately goes back to them full circle in the form of a stock price in their retirement account.
And there was something you said earlier about education of employees. What was that? Tell me about that thing.
Sure. From a, in order for employee owners, think about it, you own your business. A lot of folks do own a business. And one of the key aspects of that is the finance component. How does the business work? How do the finances work? The more you can educate your employee owners on how the finance of the organization works, it allows them to thrive, understand, and figure out how they contribute to the success of the company.
So if I picture you standing in front of the other employees explaining that stuff, am I accurate if I imagine you channeling your mother, the educator, as you do that?
1,000%.
Tell me a little bit about that, how you bring your mother when you do that.
Yeah, so the key here is to take very complex concepts and break them down so they're digestible and understandable by a wide variety of skill sets. And so that's the key, is start large, break it down, and try to simplify the conversation. Educate, educate, educate.
Cindy?
We can see for your passion for your employees, your love for employees, and your communication that you are an accountant with personality. Talk more about that.
Sure. So CPA by training, analytical, but a key to that with personality is creating relationships. So I learned very early on that life is about relationships at all different levels. And so trying to form relationships, deep relationships that will mean something, and you never know when a relationship will come back. And so I really enjoy the interpersonal side of life and talking and communicating with others.
You really enjoy what?
The interpersonal side of life and talking and communicating with others.
But you got a CPA degree.
Yeah, I hear you. I have relator in my blood. I like to understand how a person ticks and ultimately understand who they are so we can figure out how that person can shine best in our organization.
But you're in the insurance industry or the software industry. What industry are you in?
Yes, you got it. Insurance and software. It's not sexy. However, you think about all of us that probably have life insurance policies on ourselves and what it means if something were to go terribly wrong within your family. That insurance means a lot. So that's the purpose of our firm, is to really serve those end insureds and allow them to have the peace of mind and care that they need through a life insurance product.
It sort of feels to me like spiritually, you're really aligned with this whole idea of an employee stock ownership program, where you're really, you know, it really is who you are in terms of the employees owning the business, because it's in everybody's best interest. Am I reading that right?
You got it. And so you think about it, there's typically 1, 2, maybe 3 owners of an organization. We have 200. And so the ability to share the wealth amongst 200 people instead of 3, it's just phenomenal. We're going to create wealth over time that they would not have been able to achieve elsewhere, and having an equity stake in our organization.
But then you got 1,001 masters, as opposed to just having one boss or owning the company yourself or having 2 partners. Now you got 200. You like those complications?
We do. Don't get me wrong. It does not come without a ton of challenges, but the over communication and education is really the key to success there. We do a lot of things by committee, a lot of things by having open dialogue with our employees to make sure we hear them. And that's the key to.
And where's that coming from in your childhood?
You know, just the team sports and being that middle child, just kind of being able to take different opinions, different aspects, different experiences from life, and kind of gel them together and try to get the family, the team, rowing in the same direction.
So you're like the master integrator. It's like you try to take everything in and then distill it out.
Sounds about right. As I mentioned earlier, I have five areas within the organization. Mm-hmm. I'm blessed to be able to do it, and I love having that those number of hats.
What's the website address for this organization known as Andessa Services?
You said it, andessaservices.com.
Andessaservices.com. We've been speaking with Mark Wilkins, CFO of Andessa Services. Don't forget to visit our website. It's executiveleadersradio.com to learn more about our executive leaders. Back in a moment, right after this quick break. This is Herb Cohen, your host of Executive Leaders Radio. And if you're a business consultant, if you consult to business owners or to business owners' team members, then we'd like to speak with you because we're getting requests from people all over the country, from entrepreneurs all over the country that are starting and building their businesses where they're looking for help. And maybe we can help connect you. Why don't you email us at consult@executiveleadersradio.com. That's consult@executiveleadersradio.com. And perhaps we can connect you to folks, to entrepreneurs and their team members all around the country that are looking for help. That's consult@executiveleadersradio.com.
I heard the call to serve, so I answered. I earned a title and discovered my purpose. I found belonging, an unbreakable bond with my fellow Marines. We fought to overcome adversity together in defense of our nation and its people. I've lived a full life, rich with meaning. And even though I no longer wear the uniform, I am still a Marine. My service has come full circle. I will always look after those around me. I will always uplift and support my country and my community. Because that is the promise I made. That is what it means to be a Marine. Semper Fidelis. Always faithful, always Marine.
Make 2022 your year to glow at Ulta Beauty's Love Your Skin event, happening now. Upgrade your skincare routine and discover your healthiest skin yet with up to 50% off daily beauty steals from faves like Tula, First Aid Beauty, and Clarins. Feel your best with a skincare routine made just for you. But hurry, this event ends January 22nd. Shop in-store, online, or try curbside pickup today. Ulta Beauty, the possibilities are beautiful.
New year, new look. Nothing says fresh start like a clean-shaven face, a perfectly touched-up beard, or a handsome mustache. However you shave, there's nothing better than saving money all year long. And with cartridge refills as low as $2 each, a steady supply of high-quality razors from Harry's will help you spend less to look your best. So go to harrys.com now and use code FRESH22 to check out a starter set with razor, handle, shave gel, and travel cover for just $3.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen. I'd like to introduce Scott Cooper, President of Language Services Associates. Scott, what is Language Services Associates? What are you guys doing?
We are a business-to-business interpretation company.
How large or how small are you?
We have 200 direct employees and a global network of 6,000 interpreters.
Mm-hmm. Where are you from originally? How many brothers and sisters? Where are you in the pecking order?
I was born in Hawaii, moved and grew up in Denver, and moved east to go to school, never left. I have two younger brothers.
And 8 to 14, what kind of stuff were you up to? What kind of stuff were you doing as a kid?
A lot of kids stuff, but sports. I did a lot of skiing out west, played some tennis, did a lot of running, and soccer as well.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned you were in the debate, you did Cub Scouts, busboy. Yes. Jeffrey.
So Scott, in the green room, you were telling us about mom and dad. What did mom and dad do for a living growing up in Denver?
My father was a physician and my mother did what I think back in the day was described as early computer programming.
Mm-hmm. Which one are you more like, Scott?
I think I'm a pretty even split down the middle. They were both very heavy into education and different personalities, getting to know lots of different people. And I think that rubbed off on me, a pretty equal split if I thought about it.
You mentioned your father was the one of the smartest people that you knew in your life. What do you take to work from your dad?
Always ask questions. Always take nothing at face value. Back it up for yourself. Satisfy yourself that you have the right answer.
Mm-hmm. David?
Scott, you had mentioned one of your earliest jobs was being a busboy. You know, not highly esteemed, not appreciated, maybe abused every once in a while. What kind of character development did that bring to you, and how does that apply to what you're doing today?
Sure. I mentioned to you, I could write a book on lessons learned in the restaurant business, but it taught me the value of how people interact. I have spent most of my career observing how people treat people in the hospitality industry, because I think it shows a lot about character. And I took those lessons with me right up till today.
Mm-hmm. Matthew.
Scott, I was intrigued. You rattled off sports, team sports, soccer, but then you also talked about solitary things like skiing, or individual, I should say, tennis and running. Explain that. Explain how you do both of those. Explain that to me.
Yeah, part of that is just my personality. I like to defy that stereotype of I'm one thing or the other, one click or the other. And those sports had their places. We had a social network around like skiing or playing tennis, but it was a solitary sport. And then I would do the other sports where you were part of a larger team.
And tell me about cross country. What were you doing in cross country?
Yeah, that was one of the defining things when I was young. It was running back then was a release and a way to, you know, get away from things and just immerse myself in it. Now I can't run around the block without getting bored, but that switch flicked a long time ago. But
what do you think about when you're running those long distances?
Sometimes you don't think at all. And I know that the serious runners out there know what I mean with that runner's high where you just don't feel your body and you're just out there kind of floating. And that was very recharging. I wish I could get those days back now, but in my youth, that's what I used to do.
That's fascinating to me. What is that ability to kind of zone out, to not think about things? What does that have to do with being the president of Language Services Associates?
I think what I pull on from that is the ability to recharge, to step away from things completely and come back to it later, and the ability to not just dwell on it while you're out there running, I believe carries over, as I said, right up until now.
Mm-hmm. Cindy?
I'd like to circle back to what you said about Debate Club. How did you get involved in Debate Club?
Well, that goes back to something that really started at our dining room table where you could say pretty much anything you wanted, as long as you could back it up. And then I found a club that actually got rewarded for. And then I started doing it competitively, and it just sort of fueled the interest and led to other things down the road in my career.
And how is that influencing what you do with Language Services?
I think the single most important thing is to always see things from a different perspective and be prepared to come into a meeting and think you know what you're going to do, and then listen to people and then figure out how to respond if it wasn't where you started. And that all started very, very young for me.
Mm-hmm.
That's fascinating. I'm thinking about your reflective nature too, as far as running, letting your mind go blank, and then your dad's always asking questions. Do those things influence that as well?
Yeah, I think the answer is yes. And I don't know that anybody I've come across as a good business leader doesn't in their own way come back to that, which is that you have to reflect. You can't just be your way all the time. I knew it yesterday. It's the same answer today. And that is a direct carryover from those things in my youth.
Caleb.
Scott, this line that you mentioned really resonates with me, that you were allowed to say whatever you want at the dinner table, but you had to back up what you're saying. So I'm getting the sense that education was important in your family. I'd like to ask, what kind of student were you growing up?
I described it to you earlier as I was a student that was pretty good, but with potholes. I wasn't that straight A student that you wish you could be or your parents wish you could be, but I did pretty well in school. And I found, you know, frankly, education was something that always interested me. That's why I pursued liberal arts. It wasn't what to think, but how to think. And that clearly carries over to being a business leader, at least with what I do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I understand education's not always a linear path. I mean, people can pick it up later in life. So I'm wondering what effect that has on you as a leader and with your employees at language service associates. Do you guys do anything with professional development or continuing education for your employees?
Absolutely. It is at the sort of the center of what we do. We are constantly challenging employees to reinvest in themselves, to study things that are not necessarily directly tied to their job, to be better whole people. And I just love being surrounded by people that are intellectually curious and creative. Mm-hmm. And we support that with our own infrastructure. Mm-hmm.
Jeffrey?
So Scott, you talked earlier in the green room, you have two kids that are just coming through their teenage years. And in terms of the next generation, what have you learned from your two children?
Be very much aware of how much better they know technology than you do and all the things that they can get into. I try to remind my kids constantly, stuff we did at their age went away. They're stuck with it for forever. But they are also, they move much faster than we did.
How do you navigate potholes today?
Try to, most importantly, I think, learn from the mistake so you don't hit it a second time, and know that it's okay if you do hit them. Know that they're out there, quite candidly, and not always look for the road that's smooth, if I can overstretch the analogy.
Mm-hmm. Does your lessons from a restaurant book include a bartending chapter?
Absolutely. That was later in life. Obviously, had to be old enough to do that legally, but I still think that the most valuable lessons I learned, especially when I was in the legal phase of my career, is that the ability to deal with people who are there for different reasons, are not there from the same group, and making sure they have a good time when all heck may be breaking loose in the kitchen or the back of the house. That's a good business leader. It's certainly a good trial lawyer. And I tried to keep those lessons in mind as I brought it to work every day.
Give me an example of how you did that as a bartender.
Well, lots of people come into bars with problems, or they just want somebody to talk to, or the person next to them was not the person they wish was on that bar stool seat. And it's your job to make sure they have a good time. Sometimes that was driven by tips. Sometimes it was just in my nature of liking to engage with people.
And that you're telling us that engaging with people while you're behind the bar, that actually has something to do with running the business?
Oh, absolutely. I think at the end of the day, everything we do that engages with other people and helps them get what they want out of the experience is at the essence of any good business.
It sounds to me like you're all about communication. Well, you're really built for your job, aren't you? With 200 employees and 6,000 folks around the world translating and people helping communicate. It sounds to me like you're really built to do what you're doing. Am I wrong about this?
I hope you're right. And I think that is the goal every day, is to make sure the customers and the employees see it the same way you just said, Herb, because it is, in the end, all about communicating. We happen to do it over language barriers, but even if it's in the same language, helping people relate to each other is just a very long way of saying communication.
Helping people, you think you're in the business of helping people relate to each other?
Absolutely.
What do you mean?
Well, when you deal with language, you're talking about people who can't communicate with each other or relate to each other because of a barrier. So we help break down that barrier. But the barrier isn't just the words. It's the cultural issues that go with it. It's the background issues.
And why is that so important to you?
Because bringing people together is at the essence of, I think, who I am. And I think it's the essence of the company I work for.
I just wanted to make sure. Do you speak other languages?
When I was young, Matt, I used to be absolutely fluent in Spanish. I spent a semester living in Mexico as part of an exchange program, but now barely can.
What is the website address for Language Services Associates?
LSAweb.com.
We've been speaking with Scott Cooper, President of Language Services Associates here on Executive Leaders Radio. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com. We'll be back in a moment right after a quick break.
Are you putting your retirement savings in a 401k or IRA? Then I have one word of advice. Stop. Experts agree the 401k has been a dismal failure, and even the man who invented it now says it's a monster that should be destroyed. 401ks and IRAs have major dangers, including fees that gobble up 50% of your retirement savings over time. The government controls your money and changes the rules anytime they want, and it gets worse. History confirms we're past due for a major market crash that could wipe out 50% of your savings again. Now, a free report from Bank on Yourself reveals where the inventor of the 401k puts his money. You're 100% protected from crashes.
There are no fee surprises. And you control your money, not the government. Plus, your withdrawals are tax-free, which protects your savings from being devoured by taxes that can only get more monstrous. So get your report now at freereportfast.com. That's freereportfast.com. Freereportfast.com.
I'm Al Simon, 91 years young. I created Balance 7 20 years ago. At 67, I went to see the doctor for the first time in my life and found out that I had medical problems. He told me that was normal for my age. I don't believe God intended us to be sick and old. I decided to find something to bring my health back. For 10 years, I studied pH and how important it is to the human system. Balance 7 gave me back what I lost by getting older. I no longer get out of bed with a joint discomfort. Balance 7 can do for you what it has done for me and many others. In 3 days' time, you'll feel more energy, less joint discomfort, and clarity of thinking. No doctor or hospital can do what Balance 7 can do for you. Balance 7 is the key to unlocking the healthy immune system. Bring your body back to balance. Order now. Receive free shipping with the code word AL. Go to balance7.com. That's balance7.com. Order now and get your free shipping and a free gift with your order. Go to balance7.com. Use the code word AL.
Angie's List is now Angie, and caring for your home just got easier. Whether you need help with routine maintenance or a dream remodel, Angie makes it easy to see reviews, compare quotes, and connect with top local pros who can get the job done right. Plus, you can see upfront pricing and instantly book hundreds of projects. No phone tag, just the work you need done at a time that works for you. Angie's got your to-do list covered from start to finish. Book your next home project today at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Shopping cars online is a hassle, or is it? You probably search this site, that site, browse here, search there. Who has the time or the patience? Autotempest.com is the internet's best car shopping tool. With one easy search, see all the cars from the web's top car shopping sites all at once. Why browse some of the cars when Autotempest.com gives you everything? Autotempest.com, all the cars, one search.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen. I'd like to introduce Steve Gelone, president of Nebreva Therapeutics. Steve, what is Nebreva Therapeutics? What do you guys do?
Nebreva is a small biopharmaceutical company focused on antibacterial development.
And how large or how small is the team?
We're just about 170 folks based in the U.S., Austria, and Ireland.
And where are you from originally? How many brothers and sisters? And where are you in the pecking order?
Born and raised in Philadelphia, in South Philadelphia to be specific, and I am the oldest of three. I have two younger sisters.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about 8 to 14. What were the variety of things you were involved with?
Multi-sport athlete, so football, basketball, baseball, just like many, played in all the seasons. And during that time of 8 to 14, I started my first couple of jobs. Worked in a pharmacy as a cashier and worked for two of my uncles who started businesses, one a corner store deli and one a heating and air conditioning company.
How young were you when science got into your blood?
I was about 10, and I got connected to that through our corner pharmacy, where I actually got my first job as a cashier. And I learned by showing up to pick up my mom's prescriptions every month that, you know, these people are here helping folks every day. And I just was fascinated by what they did behind this high counter that, you know, I was trying to peer over from the other side of picking up her prescriptions.
Mm-hmm. Jeffrey?
Steve, in the green room, you mentioned that mom and dad did have an influence on your professional development. Tell us what mom did and what did dad do growing up?
Mom was actually CEO of the house, and she ran her own hairdressing business. And dad was an electrician, worked at Temple University for his entire career.
And what do you take to school, or I'm sorry, what do you take to work every day that you learn from your dad? Because you spent a lot of time at Temple as well.
I did. Yeah. I trained there and I taught there. I think the two things I take from my dad were, one, the blue collar kind of work ethic, you know, up early every day, out the door, the grinding for his whole career. And although my dad never went to college, he was one of the most curious people I ever met. And I've kind of carried that curiosity without me through my career.
Mm-hmm. And how about mom? What'd you get from mom you bring to work every day?
Mom was the glue. Like, I learned early on that you need glue people in your life. You need glue people in your business. And she was really the thing that kept the machine running on all fronts in our family.
Mm-hmm. David?
Curiosity is something that carries your business forward, right?
No, for sure. I mean, I think that's what makes, you know, scientific businesses in particular great and differentiate you by always being willing to ask the next question.
Mm-hmm. David?
Steve, as a fellow Philly neighborhood kind of guy, 8 to 14, how many kids did you hang out? What was that crew like?
Yeah, it was probably around 20 to 25 of us, and it was a pretty eclectic group of people, like everyone from a little bit of a different background with different likes and dislikes. So, you know, kind of early on learned that not everyone's created the same, not everyone ticks to the same clock beat, and, you know, trying to figure out how to get a group of 20 together to agree on something was early learning skills that certainly benefited me going forward.
Yeah. So your role there was kind of coordinating, trying to get people to work together. How's that translate today in what you do?
It definitely taught me early on that herding cats is an absolutely critical skill. And it really was like herding cats for sure. And I've built 5 companies up now. And in each case, there's always a component of herding cats as part of that.
Mm-hmm. Matthew?
Steve, you talked earlier about the impact of going to pick up your mother's prescription as a kid. And I'm just curious, is that going to the same drugstore, the same pharmacy over and over?
Yeah, it was the corner pharmacy, which back in the day wasn't an oddity at all. And it was the same pharmacist behind the counter that, you know, we really got to know. We considered him a family friend. I actually wound up working for him when I became a pharmacist and started practicing many moons later.
And did he own the place too, not just the pharmacist?
He did. Yeah, he was the owner and pharmacist. He owned a couple of stores.
What was his name? What is his name?
Tony Spay.
Tony Spay.
Is his name. Yeah.
So you stayed in touch with Tony all along?
I did. And as I went to pharmacy school, I wound up getting a job for him and staying connected. Now he's retired ever since because, you know, CVS is in Walgreens now kind of rule the roost. The corner stores don't really exist. But it was just awesome to know your pharmacist and have a relationship.
So what do you bring to work every day that you learn from Tony Spay?
He taught me that, you know, the team was as important, if not more important than anything else in the business. That it was a small group of people. And he really kind of set the bar high. A lot of folks wanted to work for him, even when I got my first job there as a cashier, which is right the sort of lowest of levels, that he was pretty selective and wanted certain types of people working in his business because he really felt like the people were the most important part of the business.
Caleb?
So Steve, different from the pharmacy, you worked in another corner store that I believe was owned by your uncle. How old were you when you started working there?
I was 12. It was a corner deli.
Wait a minute. You worked in a South Philly corner deli when you were 12?
12 years old. Slice and lunch meat. Yep.
So what did you learn there at the corner deli?
I learned pretty early on how to communicate with people. As you can imagine, in a corner deli in South Philly, you had all kinds walking in with all kinds of likes and dislikes and wants. And I learned the customer service was key and getting to know your customers. So I knew when the little old lady walked in who liked her liverwurst cut a half inch thick, that's how she liked it. And we were ready to rock and roll.
So you have the deli customers. Now you have, you know, you're in a big pharmaceutical company. How does that relate, though, between the deli customers and the customers that you have now?
You know, it's on a bigger scale, but it's the same skills, right? It's really, one, getting to know people in order to understand kind of what they're looking for, what their hopes, dreams, likes, dislikes are, and building relationships. And you know, similar to my experience going into the pharmacy, as we just talked about a second ago, getting to know people is so helpful in being able to drive things forward in business. And it's a lost art, I think, in many ways. And I learned it pretty early in life.
Cindy?
I was really fascinated that you got to see both of your uncles start their own business when you were 10 years old. And I think about the risks they took to start their own business. And then I hear that you started 5 different companies and now you have a multinational company. So you're no stranger to risk either. So I'd love to hear more about that.
No, for sure. I mean, you know, as a kid, I remember watching in awe of like kind of them building something from scratch and that they were putting it all on the line and for something that they believed that they could do that would help people out. So my one uncle sort of providing food services, the other one providing heating and air conditioning. what I really took away from them was how to take measured risks and using a basketball analogy, because I'm a basketball guy, they both were what I would describe as opportunistically up-tempo, that they looked at when to take those sort of measured risks, knowing that you may get it wrong sometimes, but they didn't put it all kind of on the line where everything was at risk when they kind of put their neck out there.
So opportunistic up tempo, love that phrase. Talk about how you use that in your business now.
Yeah, I mean, our motto is really very similar. We are very aggressive in what we do, but we never put everything at risk on any decision that we make. So we're a small company, and the only way we can differentiate from the big players in our field is to do some things that they may not consider and try and find the best and most efficient way forward. So that's embedded in our DNA of our business.
Mm-hmm. Matthew?
Steve, you just mentioned you're a basketball guy, and I know you're coaching basketball now, but I'm curious, 8 to 14, is there a basketball coach who had a huge impact on you?
It was Coach John Wooden. I got my first John Wooden book when I was about 12, and I was familiar with UCLA basketball because obviously they won lots of championships back when he was coaching. But when I read his book, I was just fascinated by this person who came from the most humble of beginnings, who rose through the most simplest ways of leadership, right? Building relationships, sticking to the fundamentals, and that actually works. That the fundamentals being executed to perfection actually works. And that just has carried me forward through today. And I think that's the beauty and elegance of what Coach Wooden did and why he was so successful.
Are you saying the fundamentals work when you coach basketball, or are you saying they work in business?
Both, actually. I think in both. And I think we all are pretty smart people, and sometimes we try and over-engineer and outsmart ourselves. And for me, it's always great to reflect back. And Coach Wooden had a pyramid of success, which we have hanging in the office, at least my office that hangs. And it's those fundamentals that we reflect back on when we're having difficult decisions and challenges to make.
So you're seeing a similarity between basketball, coaching, people, and building a life science business.
There's tremendous parallels. I mean, you know, one, it's about bringing people together to a common goal and all with different talents and getting that talent pool to blend in a way that you can actually get to the common goal and getting people to buy into that common goal. I mean, those things are absolutely connected.
Website address for Nabreva Therapeutics?
It's Nabreva.com.
We've been speaking with Steve Gelone, president of Nabreva Therapeutics, here on Executive Leaders Radio. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com. Back in a moment, right after this quick break. Don't go away. This is Herb Cohen, your Executive Leaders Radio host. And the CEOs we've interviewed on this show are interested in helping you get your business started and helping you grow your business, whether you're aware of the issues or whether you want the CEOs to give you a hand identifying the issues in getting your business started and or in growing your business. Why don't you email us at consult@executiveleadersradio.com. That's consult@executiveleadersradio.com. Whether you're interested in having our CEOs speak with you regarding getting your business started or growing your business, send us an email at consult@executiveleadersradio.com, and we'll be sure to get back to you shortly with some help.
Our most vulnerable veterans are isolated at hospitals. And during their greatest time of need, their loved ones can have little or no contact with them. Imagine having to shelter in place forever. Learn how you can help at healvets.org. Help Heal Veterans, with the support of citizens like you, is making things better together. Learn more at healvets.org. This message is furnished by Help Heal Veterans, a not-for-profit organization.
Why should you trust Brembo Brakes? Because 60 years of racing, testing, braking, and bettering. Because dogs in the road, indecisive squirrels, and that kid chasing the lost ball. Because tiny humans in the back seat and blind turns in front of you. Because every car should be equipped with the same kind of performance, safety, and comfort that manufacturers and professional drivers trust every day. Visit buybrembo.com and learn more about the most trusted brakes in braking.
Your local Staples is saying thanks in a big way. Right now, earn a $30 Staples store bonus when you spend $100 in store. Get custom printing or signage for your business, earn a $30 bonus. Get the latest tech, earn a $30 bonus. Get supplies for your classroom, earn a $30 bonus. It's that easy. Set yourself up for success in the new year by exploring what's new at Staples, the working and learning store. Limit 1 ends 1/22. Rewards members only. Bonus must be redeemed in store. See staplesconnect.com/store bonus for details.
Cutting the price of your wireless bill feels good. Really good. So good, you gotta try it. With Straight Talk, you can get our Silver Unlimited plan for just $45 a month. Now with unlimited high-speed data, plus 5 gigabytes hotspot data, and no contract, with nationwide 5G on America's best networks. Why pay a whole lot for your data when you can get unlimited for a whole lot less? Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise.
5G-capable device required. Actual availability, coverage, and speed may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
Asthma symptoms can attack anywhere, like on a city street. Now you can get fast relief anywhere with new improved Primatene Mist, the only FDA-approved asthma inhaler available over-the-counter. So whether you need relief of symptoms at the park or at your kitchen table, Primatene Mist starts working quickly, opening up your airways to restore free breathing. For temporary relief of mild symptoms of intermittent asthma, use Primatene Mist and breathe easy again. Available at CVS, Rite Aid, and Walgreens. Use as directed.
We're planning a trip to Spain later this year.
But our Spanish is
pretty bad. So we're using Babbel.
Babbel's conversation-based method teaches you real-life words and phrases. And with Babbel's interactive, bite-sized lessons, you'll remember what you learned.
There's no easier way to learn another language.
Ahora hablamos español.
He just said, now we speak Spanish.
Babbel, language for life. Now try Babbel for free. Just go to Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen, and we'd like to introduce Lynn Kovich, CEO of Conexio Care. What is Conexio Care? What are you doing, Lynn?
Conexio Care is a large nonprofit. We serve about 1,500 people a year with varying different disabilities, and essentially we help them to live and thrive in their communities.
Where are you from originally? How many brothers and sisters? Where are you in the pecking order?
I am from Pottsville, Pennsylvania, Schuylkill County. I am the third of four, two older brothers, one younger.
And 8 to 14, what kind of stuff were you up to as a kid, 8 to 14?
Playing all kinds of sports, baseball, basketball, softball, both organized and pickup. When it was pickup, I was playing with my brothers and my cousins who were also boys. So many times I was the only girl on the teams.
Mm-hmm. And how young were you when this giving back got into your blood?
I grew up with my cousin, my first cousin, whose name is Cindy. Cindy had Down syndrome, which is a developmental disability. She was my mother's sister's daughter. And so my mom and her sister were best friends. They spent all kinds of time together. I spent really all of my formative years growing up with Cindy, who was like my sister, and I only had brothers, so she was the closest thing I had to a sister. And even she had a developmental disability, but in my eyes, she was Cindy, and she was part of our family, and there was no difference to her as there was to me, except she needed some help in some areas.
Jeffrey?
So growing up in Pottsville, I know the town. Tell us about Mom and Dad. What were they doing for a living when you were growing up?
Mom was a stay-at-home mom. She ran the house. She did all the bills, and she kept everything in order, kept the kids in order. My dad was a blue collar worker. He was a hard worker. I watched him work shifts. Every week they changed. I watched him go to work at 8 a.m. I watched him go to work at midnight. He was just such a hard worker providing for his family.
What's he telling you in when you're working at Conexio? What's your dad telling you every day a little bit?
It's really the commitment, the discipline, the dedication to being there when we say we are going to be there and doing what we say we're going to do.
And how about mom?
mom was the people person. So I kind of get my people skills from mom in terms of how I work with people and understanding who they are as people and how to support them to do their job. She was very supportive. She was very non-judgmental. She had a good sense of who people were. She had a good sense of people's character. And I think I'm blessed to have a lot of those qualities.
Matthew?
Lynn, I'm fascinated hearing you talk about Cindy. It's so powerful. Can you tell me a little bit more about those Sunday evenings and how you and your cousins try to include Cindy in, for instance, hide and seek?
We spent really every Sunday afternoon into the evening on my aunt's porch. And many times my brothers and I and my cousins, so Cindy also had two brothers. So we are also similar in terms of she had two brothers, I had three brothers. But I would spend half of my time sitting on the porch talking to my mom and her friends and my aunt, and then we would go off and play. And I would always try to include Cindy in everything that we were doing so she felt part of the group.
Who taught you that it was important to include her and make her feel part of the group?
It was just so innate. I spent so much time with her. I grew up with her. We're very close in age. So even as toddlers, she was somebody who I played with. There was never a point in time where I thought, oh, I have to do this differently or Cindy's different. She was just Cindy, my cousin.
You said before Conexio is about helping people live and thrive in their community. Is there someone who helped Cindy live and thrive in her community?
You know, at that point in time, my aunt really did it without a lot of support. It was all about family chipping in and doing what we needed to assist. It wasn't until later in life where Cindy actually was with an organization. So
it sounds to me, Lynn,
Conexio is doing what you saw missing.
It sounds to me like you were the one that helped Cindy, and it's exactly what you're doing nowadays with 1,000 folks as opposed to just Cindy. Am I correct about that?
Exactly. It's what drives me every day.
What drives you every day?
Growing up with Cindy and making sure Cindy felt like she was, I hate to use this word, but a normal person. She just needed a little bit more support than you and I.
Thank you, David.
Lynn, in those formative years that you were talking about, three brothers, two boy cousins, pick up sports, typically with the boys. I got to imagine that was competitive and can kind of create a little bit of a hardened shell. As a leader today, how do you balance that?
I only use that hardened shell when I need to. So when something really bubbles up that I have to kind of step in, and I always like to say the buck stops with me. I'm able to hold people accountable and take on that responsibility. But I only use it when I have to, because the other part of sports is the collegial, the teamwork, the working together, which is really what also drives me and how I work with people based on their strengths and their skills. And just like I tried to put Cindy in the best light to succeed, I'd like to put the people who I work with in the best position to succeed.
Cindy?
Your family just came to life as you described the porch and hide and seek and all the boys and your time with Cindy as a toddler. And so how do you see that your family influences the way that you relate to the people that you work with?
I am who I am because of my family and because of who I was raised. I learned very quickly from my mom how to treat people. Even in my title, even now, I am not the kind of person that gets stuck on titles. I work so closely with everyone. People who work in our programs, providing the services to the individuals who we serve, I feel like I serve them because I need to make sure that they have the support and tools they need to do their jobs. And that's kind of what I was instilled with. My father was also very religious, so I grew up going to church, 16 years of Catholic school. So it's really all about service to others and treating people like we want to be treated.
Caleb?
And let's go to first jobs. How old were you when you first started making money?
I had a paper route on the weekends.
Is there something you did differently than the other kids when you were running your paper route?
No, where I lived, it was kind of in the middle of nowhere. So I had to rely on either a brother or my dad to help me get to where I needed to do to deliver the papers. So it was a little bit different. But I learned that people expected their paper. And if it wasn't on their porch at Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, I had people to answer to. So I learned very on commitment and meeting deadlines.
Matthew, what struck me earlier was when we were talking with Lynn regarding her cousin Cindy, that she didn't want to like take the credit for the fact that she was the one that was giving Cindy a hand, and now she's doing it for 1,000 people through this organization. What are your thoughts about that? What are you picking up about that, Matthew?
Well, I specifically wanted to know, you're the CEO now of this company. Do you still have time to actually interact with any of those 1,000 people you serve?
Absolutely. It's why I do what I do. That's the best part of the job.
What's the best part of the job?
Interacting and seeing people being able to live in their communities and do the things that you and I do with a little extra support.
So how well do you find that? Do you find a lot of time to do that? Does that matter to you?
It does matter to me because we could, you know, it's nonprofit, but it is also a business and we have to run it accordingly so that we're able to provide the services from a financial standpoint. But I always have to have that part to my job of really going into the programs and seeing the individuals who
Ms. Bergwall?
You had talked about community and then advocating for Cindy, both your cousins and your brothers, and you just pulled her in. Just a few minutes ago, you had shared with us another role that you had prior to your nonprofit role.
Yes, I also have a significant amount of government experience running large systems for people with disabilities. And that is also something I'm very proud of. Also feel very blessed to have had that opportunity. Because in government, you really get to have a really large impact on people. So you get a bigger bang for your buck, if you will, in terms of system change for making sure the services that we're providing in the community are exactly what people need.
It's amazing how one person in your life, Cindy, and now you have influenced thousands of people in Delaware and this area. It's just fascinating to hear that impact.
And it's nice for me to have that revelation because, you know, you do things and you don't really stop and think about it. And she probably is the single point biggest influence in my life and where my career has gone.
What is the website address for Conexio Care?
It is conexiocare.org.
We've been speaking with Lynn Kovrich, CEO of Conexio Care, here on Executive Leaders Radio. Jeff, could you give us a rundown of who we've had on the air today, please?
What a powerful show, Herb. Thank you. Mark Wilkin is the CFO of Endesa Services. Scott Cooper, President, Language Services Associates. Steve Jalone, President of NetBreva Therapeutics. And Lynn Kovrich, CEO of Conexio Care.
I'd like to thank my co-hosts, including Jeff Mack, Newmark, Caleb Hoppus-Hanlon, Matthew Shapiro Obermeyer, Cindy Bergvall, B. Bergvall & Company, and David Bizarre, Thrive Financial Services, for giving me a hand structuring the questions, hopefully providing our listening audience an educational and entertaining show. I'd like to thank our listening audience for listening. Otherwise, we wouldn't have a radio show. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. That's executiveleadersradio.com to learn more about our executive leaders. And you can check out the interviews of the folks we've had on the air today. Please have a nice day. Thank you for joining us today. Bye-bye.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now. For prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4525, 802-341-4525, 802-341-4525, that's 802-341-4525.